Hey, I'm Ashley Kanai,
and I'm Megan Jackson. Welcome to Messy Masterpieces,
where the houses are messy, and so are our lives, but we're still His masterpieces
and works in progress.
You have been broken, your innocence stolen.
Happy Wednesday, everybody.
We're back. Crazier than ever.
Yeah, with my just washed super curly clown hair.
Oh, this ain't even been washed. Well, I did. I washed it today, but I didn't do nothing to it. No makeup, nothing. You get to see me in all my glory tonight.
Well, I just sleep on mine till it dries. And like in the morning, I'll struggle to straighten it, but I don't really care because.
What do you think, Messy, happened this week?
Oh, messy things. Let me think. Oh gosh. Okay. Yeah, I've got one for you. So I'm not sure exactly what happened, but you know, I had 44 Santa sessions this weekend, 44 between Saturday and Sunday, and I was just about dead. So Saturday I did 28 of the 44. So I was like, as soon as they were over, I was going to take my kids to trunk or treat at the neighbor's church. So I just hurried up and unplugged everything and grabbed my camera and out the door with the kids. I went and I didn't check anything because I made sure that everything was cleaned up from Santa for the next day. Well, I don't know whose kid had a dirty diaper while they were waiting on their session, but when I opened the front door on Sunday, I got a massive smack in the face of dirty diaper smell. And I didn't get to my house until 30 minutes before Santa and my first clients were supposed to arrive. So here I am, like tracking down where the smell is coming from and spraying Lysol everywhere because, you know, I moved. So I have like no, like, you know, scented deodorizer or whatever. I just happen to have some Lysol in the studio because, you know, babies. So I'm spraying the entire house down with Lysol and cannot find where the smell is coming from. I finally found it. But I'm not sure if it was like a newborn client dropped it out of their diaper bag or if it was one of my Santa clients. But oh my gosh, I literally, my eyes were watering when I opened the door one day. So Santa comes in and I'm like, okay, let me just give you the details now. So you understand that it's just, you know, like not just the house. It's like literally somebody left a dirty diaper.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. That's the worst smell too. Oh my God. Like when you find it after a few days, time to marinate. You know, I did that as a practical joke one time to somebody I went to church with. Me and another girl were like, oh, we'll play a prank on somebody. So we put one of my kids' dirty diapers underneath their like seat. Well, the next time we seen them, they weren't driving that vehicle. They were driving a different vehicle. I was like, why aren't you driving other car? And they were like, there's some smell in there. I can't figure out what the smell is. And I'm like, oh. So we ended up telling them what it was and they went home and got it, but they wouldn't drive that vehicle because it stunk so bad. I was like, sorry, just they weren't very happy with me, but it was funny. It was funny to me.
Well, so. I'm telling you, I just about could not figure out what was going on in my house. But thank goodness I found it. And literally I had 15 minutes to just like spray the Lysol, like apologize to everybody, you know, sorry that my house stinks, whatever, you know.
it's real life. I did drop my off of poop, you know, but I did drop my phone today, which made me feel like poop. So now I have a cracked phone screen, but you really can't tell it. So it's not that bad. Like you can't tell it. It's not bad. So but I'm gonna wait that joker out until I can't use it anymore before I pay to have it fixed.
Yes. I have.
Well, it's like slicing my finger up, then I'll go get it changed and fixed.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what we talking about tonight? What we talking about?
Well, we're talking about complaining and what God says about our nasty attitudes.
Yeah. Well, and when I mentioned this topic to you, I don't know why, but in just my personal time, like I have, this has been like one thing that's been on my heart is like choosing your words, you know, like choosing your words carefully, because I don't think we think about that. Like what's one word that you say that you like wish you didn't say, like just a word, you know, like that you use a lot and you're like, I really wish I wouldn't say that word. Like mine is, I got like four. Like I got like crap and piss and freaking. Those are like, that's three that I say a lot that I wish I didn't say. Like, well, what's one that you say?
First one I don't say, and that is
because. You don't say crap?
Well, not often. If I do, it's very rare because my mama taught high school and she had this thing called the invisible chair, which was you sit in an invisible chair against the wall and hold a book out in front of your face if you say crap. So it's not really allowed in my house. And I don't know why that word bothered her so much. I mean, you know, there's a lot worse, but I remember her making kids sit in the invisible chair and she would time them. You'd lean up against the wall and squat like you were in a chair and hold a book out in front of you. And we ain't talking about like a chapter book. We're talking about the world geography textbook.
Carol don't play.
Yeah. Carol don't play. So, you know, you didn't say it, you know, you just,
And I guess it's if you don't grow up saying things, like, I mean, I didn't grow up saying them, but like, it's just, you just, and I guess I don't feel like it sounds bad until like you hear your kids say it. Or you hear somebody else say it, and then you're like, oh my gosh, that's like a horrible word to say. Like, it does not sound good, especially when I hear my kids will be like, they'll say something, and they'll be like, oh my God, that's freaking awesome. And I'm like, that doesn't sound good. But I guess it's just we get in a habit of saying things, yeah. But yeah, do you complain a lot? I feel like I do.
I think I complain the most when I feel overwhelmed.
Yes, that's me too. Like, I feel like that's when I complain or I make poor decisions with my words because I'm frustrated and I'm like, you know, I just start having verbal diarrhea, you know?
And it's and a lot of it is because I have piled too much on my own plate and then I can't get it all done. And then I'd rather just sit around and complain about it than just try and get it all done. I definitely think that's it. Like Santa on Halloween weekend and trunk or treats and two newborns and a first birthday cake smash. Never again.
I think sometimes you have to learn the hard way though. You know, you're like, I think I can do it. I think I can do it. And you're like, nope, I can't. I kept
thinking was Santa charges a travel fee. Santa charges a travel fee. Like I didn't want to, like I needed him for 8 hours that day, you know? So
But you got through it. Now just to edit and, you know,
I've only finished.
That's the hard part.
I know. I finished 4 out of 44. So I might be complaining this week a little bit.
Yeah. But I think it's just, I mean, there's power in the tongue. So I feel like we should choose our words carefully because scripture says there's death and life in the power of it, you know? And so I mean, I have a hard time. I'm the type of person, like if I think it comes out of my mouth sometimes and I'm not very slow to speak. So I'm trying to learn in my own personal life, not to be, to be so quick to speak and speak a little bit slower than I normally do. Cause that's hard. You know, if you're like, cause I'm chaos, like the definition of chaos. So if I don't know. I feel like I just, that's the way I function. So I speak faster than I probably should a lot of times. And then I end up being like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that.
And sometimes our complaining can hurt our witness too, you know, like.
It can. Yeah, absolutely.
Happy with the way our lives are going. That
absolutely.
That believe that we don't trust or that we don't, you know, and we don't want people to see us that way. Well, she claims that she loves Jesus, but all she does is just complain all the time.
Yeah.
That's not who we need to be for others to see, you know, it's not.
Well, and I think that I've been reading a really good book. It's called The Complaining Cure. And it just talks about like, when we're complaining, we're like setting up strongholds in our mind for like the enemy to just kind of take over because he takes our complaints and he kind of feeds off of them basically. And he's like, okay, well, this is a place for, you know, we're just giving him a little bit of a reinforcement, you know, and we're setting up this like command center in our brain for the enemy just to just take over. And before we know it, that's all we do. We complain about everything from, you know, the traffic to, you know, I mean, I remember like last week, I just remember like taking inventory the next day of like things I complained about. And I literally complained about some of the stupidest stuff, like just random stuff that didn't even really matter. And I'm like, there's so much power in that. Like it just puts you in a bad, it puts you in a bad mood. And you think about if you're around somebody all the time and all they do is complain, then what do? You end up complaining too. And it puts you in a bad mood. So yeah.
And it's almost like a crack in the surface, you know, that gives the devil a foothold.
Yeah.
Know, when we start the complaining, then, you know, and the more we do it, the more our minds are like, okay, you know, it gives him an opening to slide in there and have us thinking bad thoughts. And it's not just coming out of our mouths anymore. You know, it's inside of our heads. And it leads us to a really bad place, a place where negativity kind of brims over.
That's right. And I guess, you know, your words can either, you know, they can either cut or they can cultivate. And I think we don't think about this because a lot of our interactions now are done like online and through social media. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly, I think, you know, I mean, we all do it. We scroll and we're like, oh my God, why did she post that? Oh my God, why did they say in that? Oh, can you believe she wore that on Halloween? You know, or just think, we don't even think about it. We just automatically do it. And I don't know, it's become, I think, so common for us just to complain and cut people with our words that we don't even think about it anymore. We just automatically do it. And we get ourselves involved in stuff that we have no business even being involved in, you know, when it comes to talking about stuff or complaining about stuff. We complain about it even when it doesn't even involve us. So
it does. And a lot of times our complaining is about worldly things anyway. I mean, think about the last things you've complained about. Like, you know, I washed a pair of pants that I thought had some money in them and I never found it. And so that was my complaint. But really, I mean, that's something that shouldn't bother me. I mean, I think it was like a $5 bill. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, like, you hone in on the thing that bothers you and you miss, mm-hmm. you know, I spent a whole evening searching for doggone $5, you know, and that ate away my whole evening with my family, you know? Right.
Yeah. And I mean, scripture says to do everything without grumbling and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns right around and says to pray about everything. So it's like, you know, when you sit and think about that, like when I feel like I have this attitude of, well, I'm going to, or I get in this mood of complaining and murmuring and grumbling about everything, probably that's when I need to stop and pray. You know, like today, like I had a lady, this is just, you know, and it's funny because like, she called me yesterday. I was in the bed all day with a migraine. I literally took my kids to school. I woke up about 2 o'clock with a really bad headache, 2 o'clock in the morning. And, I try not to medicate unless it's just absolutely unbearable. Cause I hate taking medicine. So I'll do like ice packs and essential oils, you know, whatever I can do. And I literally slept all day yesterday just because I felt so bad. And I think I was just exhausted from working all weekend. So this lady had called me about a paint class like 3 times yesterday. She had texted me and I was on the phone with someone else and I was like, hold on. I was like, I got to answer this phone call because this lady's blowed my phone up. You know, and I wasn't complaining about it, but I kind of was, you know, and I was telling her, I'm sorry, I didn't get to, you know, message you back yesterday. I was like, I had a bad migraine and I'm so sorry. And before she got off the phone, then she's like, Ashley, I just want to pray with you. And I was like, and I literally just wanted to just bust out crying, you know, walking out my door, trying to get everything in my car. And she's like, I'm going to pray with you because I know you have a lot on your plate and, you know, migraines are not fun. And I was just like, it really shocked me that, you know, I had this attitude of complaining and being in a hurry and just rushing around. And this lady was like, I'm going to pray for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a perfect example of, you know, how we should be and what scripture says, you know, and she just prayed with me over the phone and it just made my day so much better just because she took that 5 minutes of her day to not maybe complain along with me, but pray for me because mm-hmm. it would have been easier for her to say, oh, I know migraines, or I don't know about them migraines, but my back's bothering me. You know, it's just so easy. But she was like, I'm going to pray for you. I was like, how many times have I done that when somebody's complained to me? How many times have I said, well, I'm not going to complain along with them about my problems. I'm going to stop what I'm doing and pray for them.
Right. And complaining has
had a really big impact on me. I'm sorry.
Complaining is contagious. It's like yawning. You know, when you see another person yawn, you can't help but yawn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot like that, because when one person gets in a rut of negativity, they kind of drag you into the rut of negativity, and you start thinking about anything that could possibly go wrong in your own life.
When
I was studying for this, I the word grumbling, my goodness, mentioned in tons of scripture. But my favorite one is just, it's Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I mean, it's so short. It's the shortest one I read when studying, but I thought that's it. I mean, a joyful heart is good medicine, and the grumbling and the complaining is what makes us spiritually sick.
It does. Yeah.
It's what gives the devil the foothold to creep into our lives and fill it with negativity.
And when the enemy knows that he has this stronghold on you, then he has so much more power in our lives, you know, and it takes over other areas, you know, and then we start to question this, or, you know, question that, or we have fear about this or doubt about that. So it's so easy to get caught up in other things because of something as simple as letting the enemy just have this, like, foothold, or just set up this stronghold in our life. So, I read this really cool thing that, the Holy Spirit, when he's talking about like the tongue, in James, he sits a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. So just think of how small a flame can set like a huge forest ablaze. This is James. And he's saying, and the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. That's like the Passion Translation. But it was just showing that kind of, because the Passion kind of goes a little bit more in depth and, you know, deeper, and uses very like descriptive words or whatever. But then it gave this example of like when the Holy Spirit's using that fire, that forest fire, whatever, you know, it's like even whether a fire is set like intentionally or carelessly or innocently, the effect's the same. It's going to burn down whether, you know, you drop a match or you literally go out there, or somebody drops a cigarette out in the woods, or they actually intentionally go and say, well, I'm going to set this fire, or they leave their little campfire burning too long. It's going to cause the same damage. Mm-hmm. So I just like that this said in the book that I was reading that it says, did you know that severely burned soil can become water repellent? And it gives like the phenomenon of what it's called. I ain't gonna try to pronounce it because I don't know how to pronounce it. But it says the scorching of the fire prevents the soil from absorbing water. Without the ability to hold on to water, new life has difficulty growing. So instead of water being a benefit, it becomes a hindrance, eroding away topsoil. The runoff of the ash and the sediment from the topsoil often produces or pollutes the rivers and streams nearby, becoming toxic to fish or other life. So it has the potential to contaminate other wildlife nearby. And it says, depending upon the severity of the fire, the length of time it burned and how slowly it burned, it could take a decade or more for that forest to recover. So I think that just paints this like really powerful picture of the effect of our words, you know, that words can spark a fire and in within us, but within others. And then it just has the ability to not even absorb new things and good things, which is water and nutrients, because it's so infected with all the bad stuff.
Right.
And I was like, that is such a good picture example of, you know.
And think about where that overflow comes from. I mean, if it comes out of our mouth, it has to come from our heart.
That's right. Well, that's what scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes. And, you know, I remember being in youth and we were challenged to memorize a certain amount of verses, and they all had to do with being young, you know, like how to live a life that reflects Christ when you're young. And I remember The second one we memorized, and I couldn't tell you what book, I couldn't tell you what verse, but I remember the verse was, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Mm-hmm. And I remember just reminding myself of that over and over because, you know, I was a teenager and girls are catty in the teen years. And
they still catty. What you talking about?
I know, but I just remember thinking, okay, Megan, remember that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want my heart to reflect Jesus. And I want to show that I love Jesus. And so that's how I kept a rein on my tongue in my teen years. Was just simply remembering that, you know, he called us a brood of vipers. You know, if you have evil in your heart, then it's going to eventually bubble up and come out of your mouth.
That's right.
And we as Christians don't ever want that to be how we're seen.
Well, and I think scripture says it too, that it's little, but it's so powerful. But I think how powerful our tongue is. You know, we all did the example like in youth or, you know, where they took the tube of toothpaste and they squeezed it out and they're like, okay, well now put the toothpaste back in the tube. And, you know, and you're like, well, you can't put it back in, you know, and that's, and we as adults, we forget that. We forget that our words have an impact. I remember what somebody said about me when I was in sixth grade, you know, and how it hurt me. And I'm 40, almost 42 years old. And, you know, you don't think about it having an impact for years and years down the road and how it affects you as an adult. And, you know, even just the way we talk to our kids, if we complain to our kids all the time, then we end up setting ourselves up. And I have to be careful about this because I notice it in my kids. I find them complaining a lot because they hear me go, "I'm tired." I have to tell my kid all the time, "Quit saying you're tired. You're not tired." You know, but they hear me say it and I'm like, "You're not tired. You don't know tired." But it's just, they hear it. They hear me say it, you know? So it's like they automatically just, they're products of their environment.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And when we complain in front of them, we produce complainers.
That's right. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think we don't even realize that we're just building these, every statement we make, we're just building like these little bridges, you know, linking one complaint to the next, one complaint to the next. And then before we know it, there's where that stronghold comes in that the enemy's building, you know, in our mind and in our heart. And just, I feel like when you complain, you can't really be where you want to be with God if you're complaining all the time, you know, because we should have joy. And like you said, a joyful heart. And I feel like if we're complaining all the time, we really don't have anything to complain about. Yeah, life isn't going to go our way all the time, but as a Christian, we should be so joyful. And I feel like that's why we see so many people that aren't becoming Christians or knowing or are wanting to know who Jesus is, because they see Christians and go, "God, they're miserable. You know, they're miserable people." And we should be the least miserable people.
Oh yeah. We should be.
But they don't see that. The world doesn't see that. They see Christians as complainers and judgmental and I don't know what other kind of words, you know, but yeah, I think complaining turns into criticism. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel like you self-criticize a lot? Do you feel like you pick yourself apart a lot?
Oh, I definitely do. I don't think, I think I'm so right brain though. Ashley, I think you're like me in that I can't see the trees for the forest. And that's part of right-brainedness. So a lot of times I don't nitpick the small things about myself because I don't see them.
Yeah.
But if something big happens and I know I was the cause of it, or, you know, I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see, or then I'll pick myself apart. But I just don't nitpick about the little things in myself because I don't notice them. I think that's all part of being right brain. I think right-brained people are happier.
I mean, my thing is like, somebody put something on, like, they were like, "You doubt yourself too much." And I was like, "I'm not doubting myself. I just am a very like real person. Like, you know, I don't go out here and think, I mean, cause I paint for a living. I don't go out here and go, well, I'm the best artist that's in Spartanburg County." No, that would be a stupid statement that I should make. You know, and I, And I don't walk around going, oh my gosh, I look great today. You know, like, or I guess I just don't, but I'm not going to be like, I try not to be like self, like destructive with my words, but I think a lot of times I say things and I'm just kidding around, but I don't like really mean it. It's kind of like, okay, you're going to, this is probably not going to be funny to you, but it's funny to me. So I'm at a class and, you know, this is how you know if you're fat. Okay. This is how you know if you're fat. Okay. So when you're telling somebody and you're like talking to them and you're like, you know, yeah, I probably shouldn't eat this, but I'm going to, cause I love it. That's why I'm fat. Cause I like food. And that person doesn't go, you're not fat. If they don't say that, then you're fat.
Oh, Lordy.
That's true. Right. Because you would tell somebody, you'd be like, girl, you're not fat. But if they don't say that, then that girl didn't say that to me. And I was like, well, I guess that means I'm fat. Okay. Yeah.
I think you read too much into that. That's what I think.
But that's how you know. So, you know, listeners, if you need to know if you're fat or not, go out in public and just be like, yeah, that's why I'm fat. And if they go, you're not fat, then you're like, you're good. But if they don't say nothing and they just kind of look at you, then you're fat. So. That's how you know.
Were you eating a York peppermint patty? Because they're totally
worth it. No, I was just at the little table at the paint class getting a little food, you know, just a little snacky snack.
Well,
anyway.
Patties are my downfall right now.
I love York peppermint patties. They're my favorite. Listen, my kid wanted to go trick-or-treating last night. I mean, he's in eighth grade, but he was like, man, I want some candy. He just wanted candy. I was like, dude, put your shoes on. We need milk. So we go right to the end of the street right over here. And I'm like, I'll hook you up. Here's $20. Get a gallon of milk and get you some candy. He come out. He was the happiest kid ever. He's like, thank you, Mama. That was awesome. He's like, I didn't even have to trick or treat. So, you know, I mean, we're talking about life and real life stuff and Jesus, but I'm also giving y'all some self-help stuff tonight. You know,
sometimes it's
worth
it.
You gotta make your kids happy.
$20.
What
do you say? Sometimes it's just worth the $20, especially.
Exactly.
Especially when
and he went in the store.
I would have had to walk my kids around. No.
Oh, no, we didn't do that. We didn't do that last night.
I took them to 2 trunk or treats and I stood at the beginning and they went all the way around and came back and met me.
I do like trunk or treat. It does save gas. I mean, I will say that, you know, that's one good thing. So and we're not going to complain. We're not going to complain about it because our kids got candy that we can eat. So that's a good thing. But sorry that I'm like a squirrel, but you know, I think when we're talking about criticizing, I just think that we get so caught up in criticizing everybody else and ourselves that we think it's just like casual conversation. We're just talking, you know, we're just talking about, oh my God, Susie decided to dress like a, you know what, on Halloween last night. And, you know, and I hope there's nobody out there named Susie that dressed like a you-know-what on, put their picture on Facebook.
Well, but if she did, shame on you, Susie.
But anyway, why is that? Why do women think they got to dress like Hoochie Mamas on Halloween?
All right, Ashley.
Good godly women.
Well, I don't know. I don't dress up ever, so.
I mean, I like to dress up, but I don't let my goodies hang out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I try to keep my stuff covered up. But I don't know what it is. It's like Halloween comes out and women are like, woohoo, I get to be half naked for a night. Anyway, sorry. But that's casual conversation that we have just like that with our friends. But really, that is like strategic warfare for the enemy, I think. When we do that kind of stuff, I think we are just setting these again, strongholds up that allow us to get caught up in things that we don't need to get caught up in. And the enemy just takes over. And before we know it, we need to pray for Susie and her Hoochie Mama Halloween outfit. We don't need to talk about her, you know?
I still say shame on her. I saw those fishnets.
See your face right now. You're like, Ashley, really?
Sorry, I'm trying to keep a straight face. I know nobody can see me, but still.
You're like, I know she just didn't say that.
It's totally fine.
But, you know, I mean, we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and it's like, do we possess the fruit of the Spirit? And the fruit of the Spirit does not say anything about complaining or criticizing or, you know, cutting down people, or we're to be, the fruit grows from seeds, and I want us to have seeds that are producing life and not death in our words, because our words have so much power. And I think we forget that. And then that's why we end up seeing so many people hurt, because, you know, sometimes you don't even realize, you know, that people see things that you maybe put on social media or something you just say to somebody that you don't even think was a bad thing, but they took it completely wrong. And, or it may have been bad, but you didn't think it was bad. And next thing you know, that person's not talking to you anymore. And it's just, I think we just take for granted the words, the power of our words.
Right. Right. And you mentioned James earlier. I was just thinking about one I read in James that says, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge with a capital J is standing at the door." So it's not up to us to grumble or complain or say anything about anybody else, because it's not up to us to judge other people.
That's right. But I mean, people are making jobs at it. You know, I remember, you know, I mean, that's what they do for a living. They criticize sports teams and, you know, criticize everything. That's just, you know, what was that guy's name that used to have that website? Perez Hilton. You remember him?
Yes.
He criticized every celebrity, you know, like, just, that's, people make money off of that. People make money off of criticizing people and making fun of people or whatever. But there's a scripture that I really liked that in Proverbs has a lot of good things about the tongue, but it says the mouths of fools are their ruin, and they trap themselves with their lips. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Why are rumors, you know, I guess because we're in a small town, rumors are like crazy. You know everything about everybody. You know, somebody be like, "Did you hear this?" And I'm like, "Nah, I didn't, but tell me." No, I'm just kidding. I don't say that. But I mean, sometimes I do. You're like, let's end this podcast right now.
I think Ashley is tired.
Oh my gosh. But I mean, but true, like, I think we don't realize that the mouths, and when it says the mouths of fools are their ruin, we don't think about that. But when we talk foolishly, mm-hmm. and we say words that, you know, we shouldn't say, even if it's saying crap, you know, like you don't say crap, but I'm sure you have words that you literally are like, "Oh my gosh, I wish I didn't say that because it doesn't sound good." Right. Even it doesn't necessarily have to be even like a curse word or anything that's like bad. I don't even know who makes cuss words anyway. Like, who said a cuss word was a cuss word, you know? But
that's exactly what my 11-year-old wanted to know.
Yeah. But I think it's about the intent of your heart. You know, it's like, I feel like anything that you say can be technically could be a curse word if it's the intent and the way that you're using it, right?
Or meant in the negative. I mean, anything that is meant in the negative is,
I mean, it's like the word, you know, like it's in the Bible, jackass. I mean, that is an animal, but when you call somebody that, if you call somebody that, that's not good, you know? So it's all about it's all about how you use it, and whether you use crap as, you know, I mean, I don't think crap can be used like good or bad, I guess, but I mean, I just think it's not just doesn't sound very becoming, you know, to say that.
Definitely does.
Or to say piss. That's not a nice word to say, you know, but when I get mad sometimes, that's what I say. So I know other people say some, mm-hmm. y'all, I would love to start a Facebook poll of like some people's like,
no, don't start in curse. No, not the complain train, Ashley. We ain't
not the complain train. Just
we are not the.
I would like to know some Christian cuss words.
Woo, woo! All aboard the complain train. Ashley's conducting. No, ma'am.
That's not bad. I just want to know some like Christian cuss words. Like, what's some people's like go to word that they use instead of saying, you know, the bad words? So
it's
that
still all about the heart. Girl, get off of here. Go to bed.
It's not time to go to bed yet. It ain't been 8:40. Oh my gosh. But, you know, I just think we don't think about, I mean, I'm sitting here just running my mouth and I'm just talking about, you know, we're talking about complaining, but anyway, I want to be light and I'm just trying to make people laugh, but you know, because I mean, it's true though, right? I mean, our words are very, have a lot of power.
They
are. We should speak fruitful words and not words that cut people or hinder somebody's walk, because that's the most important thing, I think, is making sure that we don't hinder somebody's walk with the Lord over something that we say or do. So we have to be very careful. And I mean, it's not just in public, it's in private too. I mean, because like you said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we say is, it comes from our heart. You know, what we feel, what we're filled up with is what's going to come out of our mouth.
That's right.
Every time.
And we want it to be something that says, I'm a follower of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely. Yes. Because at the end of the day, if that's our job, is to be salt and light, like we talked about, and to display Christ, if our words are complaining and criticizing and cutting, we ain't showing Jesus. We're just being used by the enemy to, yeah. And I don't want to be used by the enemy, Megan. Okay.
Well, that's the worst thing, is to allow claim to be a follower of Christ and then allow the enemy to use us and our words, because then we can't suck those back in and we can't make people unhear what we said.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I guess that's probably, I mean, and I think that's the, like I said earlier, that's the main issue, I think, with Christians is our words. I mean, we can go to church and we can, you know, we can go and worship and we can help out in the soup kitchens or we can teach a Sunday school class, but the Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday words that we speak, that's what people notice and take inventory of. And if they're not full of salt and light and they're not producing and bearing good fruit, then we're not doing our job. And when there is, the time is short. Time is short. I mean, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I think he's coming back very soon. And we need to be like working really hard. We do. I'm trying to be serious now. Being real.
I appreciate it. I'm going to buy you the striped hat for your train next time.
No complain train. Oh, that is our graphic, complain train.
There you go.
Are you the conductor of the complain train?
There you go.
I love it. Got to put a little choo-choo train on there. Yes. All right. Most definitely. Yay. I love it. So let's tie it all up. Well, what's our grand theme? Keep our mouth shut if we ain't got nothing nice to say.
Don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
God, that's hard.
It is.
That's a hard one. Nobody would ever talk then, probably.
Nope, not at all.
But silence sometimes is better than saying something.
Yeah,
you know, so we're not going to be conductors on the complaint train. You know, it's more beautiful. No, so
we're going to ride the glory train. We're conductors of the glory train, and we're going to be the Lord. We're in the Lord's army. What else we got?
And we want that train to be full, and we want them to see light in us.
So let's challenge. Let's challenge everybody to take inventory of their words. As we challenge ourselves.
If you want to challenge, start you a jar and put money in it every time you find yourself complaining or being a little negative.
I'd probably be rich. Mm-hmm. I could quit my job. No lie. For real. Well, I mean, I guess the money would come from me. So there wouldn't be, I mean, it would just be my money, but you know, I would be rich if I saved it all. That's for sure. Okay. Well, until next time.
All right. No complaining.
No complaining.
And leave that poor hussy alone that dressed up for Halloween.
I'm going to pray for her.
Yes. Don't talk about it. Pray for her.
Pray for them. No complaining. Prayers.
Okay. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.